Before I begin this morning, I just felt called to say a couple things before my message. And these folks have no idea that I'm about to do this. First of all, we had Vacation Bible School this week. And see the chains up here? Each one of those is a act of kindness that our children that in Vacation Bible School did for someone else. And there's 275 of those here. And I just want you to know, and of course the altar is still set for Everywhere Fun Fair, our Vacation Bible School. And it's, I just think it's beautiful. If you want to see some of the things that they did, acts of kindness, it's still out there on the pad. As you leave, you're welcome to read those. But it was just an awesome week. And I just want to say thanks to Deanna and Brenda. I want to say thanks for all the leaders for Vacation Bible School. It was a great, great week. And during the offertory, there's going to be some pictures. So make sure that you pay attention to the screens during the offertory to those pictures. Secondly, one thing that this church has always tried to do, and we're really stressing it, is to build our children and youth and also young adults areas of the church. And one thing that our youth group is very healthy, it is vibrant, thanks to all the adults and Jamie's leadership, and we just have amazing youth group and youth activities. But we can have 25, even 35 show up on Sunday nights, but on Sunday morning and Sunday school, we have three or less. And so we are continually challenging to provide something that the youth would like in their Sunday school classwork. And Justin has been available to teach that class, Pastor Justin, and for the last several months. And we understand that summer is rough. But just know, parents and youth alike, that that is being offered as something for you. It can be fun and exciting, but it sure is helpful when we have kids there to do that. And so please make sure you put that on your agenda. Make it a habit, right? Developing a great habit. I think that would be a great habit to develop. And, of course, you all know Justin and would feel comfortable with him. He is just a great guy and a great teacher. Also, something else that we've done, Pete and Sandy Graham have really done wonders as far as getting our whole Sunday school program organized, and our children's teachers in, like, it would be pre-K through fifth grade, they do a great job, and I want to lift them up too. But specifically, we have something new that I want to lift up, and it's for many of you that I see sitting out here today, and that is a young adult Sunday school class. And these two folks right here, Mark and Cindy Myers, they are teaching that over across the street in Emily's office. And so know that at 9:25 across the square in Emily's office, chiropractic office, that is where that class is. It is for essentially, well, anyone obviously is welcome to go to the Sunday school class, but its intention is for those people who have young kids, from children to youth age. And so please, they are great folks. Why don't you just, if you don't mind, turn around, just wave so they can, everybody can see. This is Mark and Cindy, and they are teaching that class 9:25 Sunday mornings right across there. You can bring your kids to Sunday school here at the church, be over there, and I'm sure you'll want to just spread the news about the great things that are happening here. So anyway, thank you all. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, everybody, for what you do. But just realize that is available to you. Please, whenever you make new habits, make that be a habit. Make that be a priority in your life to be a part of Sunday school. Because, you know, worship is great, but think about it. If you watch TV for 1 hour a week, you just about erase worship and what you learn here, right? We have to spend time in Scripture. We have to spend time in prayer. We have to spend time studying God's Word. And a small group setting like Sunday school is an awesome place. Now, we come here to worship God, right? That is our main priority. But out of worshiping God, when we truly open our hearts to God's presence, we also come out of here filled and ready to spread God's kingdom all around us, right? Because we are the church. Amen. And there are so many negative things that we need a lot more than an hour or so on Sunday morning per week to help God spread his kingdom. Does that make sense? Any questions? Honestly, any questions about any of those things? All right. Something that I did differently today that I have, I always have done this, and I've gotten out of the habit, and that was not intentional. I caught on to that myself first service, but I feel a little bit of ring in my voice coming back for some reason. But anyway, if you would take out your sermon notes, which is on the back of the study guide, if you grab a pen or a pencil and keep that handy while I am preaching, here's the purpose of this, folks. The reason anyone who has studied the way people learn understand that if you only listen to the teacher, you remember a very, very, very small percentage of what was said. If you can see it, it increases the amount that you remember. And if you can have it reinforced by writing it, that even helps you remember more of it. So we don't do this because we like pretty screens, although they are pretty awesome. We do this to help you learn and remember. And that's why we do all these things. All right? So grab this, if you don't mind. Grab a pen or a pencil and follow along this morning on those sermon notes. And see, you can take it home, read through this again, follow the study guide each morning as a way to spend some time with God. All right. So when we began this series, Good to Great, I said that over the years, I've asked many people just about every age about their hopes and dreams. I don't know if you remember me saying that. And typically, I receive great answers, and there are answers about those hopes and dreams, and many times even how they plan to accomplish those hopes and dreams. However, when I would ask Christians if they had ever considered being great Christians, people seemed afraid to answer the question. They are afraid that an ambition, are you with me now? They're afraid that an ambition to be great is what, in what is truly the most important area of our life, right? They are afraid, and maybe this is you, that an ambition to be great seems arrogant. Are you following me today? But when you think about it, what is our alternative? We're moving from good to great as Christians. What is our alternative of being a great Christian? I mean, should we aspire to be mediocre Christians? We can walk down the street and say, yeah, Jesus, I'm a mediocre Christian. Isn't that awesome? Do we want to do that? We don't want to be mediocre at anything, do we? But many times we settle into being mediocre Christians, don't we? Is it really prideful to want to honor God with lives of great faith and excellent work? Think about that. Is it really prideful to want to honor God with lives of great faith and excellent work? Well, as we have moved through the series, we realize that several great Christians had certain practices that are in common. And these aren't things required for salvation. You need to understand that. These are not things required for salvation. These are practices that give you the highest opportunity to fulfill the highest and best purposes God has for your life. Did you follow that? These are practices that give you the highest opportunity to fulfill the highest and best purposes God has for your life. Don't we all want that? Really? Are you awake this morning? All right. Because those who dream of eternal impact in the kingdom of God, who envision crossing the finish line as one of God's great saints, are motivated to do whatever it takes to know God deeply and be used by Him powerfully. Amen? God is not nearly as interested in our ability to learn truth as God is in our willingness to apply it. You follow that? God is not nearly as interested in our ability to learn truth as He is in our willingness to apply that truth. You see, I believe that God invites you to be a world-changing, kingdom-shaping follower of Christ. Can I get an amen on that? So, as we close this teaching series, I'm going to quickly list the practices that we have talked about. We began with thinking great thoughts. And remember on that, it had to do with if you watch an hour of news, because many times news tends to be so negative, right? I challenge you to read Scripture and pray for 10 minutes, right? It's a concept of an hour and a half on Sunday morning or whatever time you spend here in worship is not nearly enough focus on God and His truths to overcome the worldly things that we are, that bombard us each day, right? So think great thoughts. A way to do that is to read about great people in Scripture, to study about God and how He reacts with people. Think great thoughts. Then reading great books, pursue great people, dream great dreams, pray great prayers, take great risks, make great sacrifices, enjoy great moments, empower great people. And today we are concluding with develop great habits. Now, I don't know about you, but these have been things that I've had to quote unquote chew on during the week. Anybody else had that issue? I mean, these are deep and personal things if we really take this teaching series seriously. And so these are things that I've had to chew on all week after a message, and it's really powerful stuff. And as I said last week, if you've missed any of the messages, make sure you download our app to your smartphone and follow along, catch up on them, or go to our website and listen to the sermons there. So, now, in this service, you know that my son David is a pretty good drummer. I don't know where he is right now. There he is, up there, yeah. He's a pretty good drummer, but what you may not know is that he is a pretty good left-handed pitcher, too. I mean, sometimes he has rough nights, right, David? But he's a pretty good pitcher. And something I didn't realize until I had a son of my own learning how to pitch is how complicated the mechanics are when you're pitching. Not only are you trying to throw the ball 55 feet over an area that's approximately 1 square foot as hard as you can, you have to pay attention to the guys on the base and yet not make a wrong move so you won't get a balk called on you. But then to not be distracted by all that and pitch the ball again over that small area, that home plate. But even more basic than that is the thoughts like, how am I holding the ball? Am I bringing the ball over my shoulder? Am I pausing too much on my windup and it's throwing me off balance? Am I stretching far enough after I release the ball so that the ball flies through the air right? And on, all of these have to be in a fluid type motion, right? Now, some of my favorite pitchers, when I watch them, I mean, they pitch the ball. I mean, I have to admit, some of them are like, wow, did that actually go over the plate? But in NBA, Major League Baseball, I had NBA on the brain. Some of those pitchers, I mean, they throw that ball and it's so fluid as it flies over that plate. It's like they're just feathering it over there and it's flying at 95 miles an hour. It blows me away. But on the other hand, whenever you watch some of our young pitchers who haven't pitched enough to form a habit, right? When they're thinking, and you can see that they're thinking about the mechanics that they have to deal with, many times the motion isn't too fluid, is it? And many times the ball finds its way other places than the plate. Because, see, there's so much to remember. There's too many elements to concentrate on. And again, sometimes that ball doesn't go where you want it. The pitch only seems natural and effortless when each element becomes automatic, when that is a fluid motion, as the ball, even until the ball crosses the plate. Well, now, folks, it's the same dynamic with almost anything we do. All right, stick with me here. We make thousands of decisions a day. As a matter of fact, you have made many decisions already, and it's only, what, 11:15 in the morning, right? You have made so many decisions, and quite honestly, you probably don't remember most of them, do you? They are automatic to us. I mean, don't you really almost have to think about it to remember if you brushed your teeth or not? Because it's so automatic, right? I mean, I buttoned this shirt, but I don't remember buttoning this shirt, and I'm sure you're grateful that I buttoned this shirt. But, right? I don't remember buttoning my shirt, right? How about tying our shoes? Or making coffee in the morning? And you know one of my worst? And probably Jamie and the boys get so irritated with me. I'll get a mile away from home and go, did I close that garage door? Anybody else there with me? Yeah, I mean, you turn on the car, you put it in reverse, you back out, you push the button and you go, and you're going, wait a minute now, did I shut that door or not? Anybody see that go down? Right? Inevitably, no one sees it go down, right? So we have to go back and make sure that the door is down. We accomplish a lot without thinking about our actions because we've developed habits. Can I get an amen? Show me that you understand, all right? We have now gone through 9 practices that great Christians use. But remember that God is not nearly as interested in your ability to learn a truth as He is your willingness to apply it. And this final practice will help you integrate these into your life, and this is why. Great Christians learn to live the Christian life in one fluid motion rather than an awkward series of movements because they've learned how to develop great habits. Christians learn to live the Christian life in one fluid motion rather than an awkward series of movements. Because they've learned to develop great habits. Great Christians aren't thinking about the individual steps, at least not constantly. They have practiced enough with these principles that, learning becomes second nature. It's a way of life for them. And habits are important. And all of these 9 that came before, I think, are extremely important. But this message today, I think, is it's the glue maybe that holds everything together because habits are so very powerful. Listen to what Benjamin Franklin said. If you take all your good habits and subtract all your bad habits, the result is your contribution to society. You ever thought about that? If you take all your good habits and subtract all your bad habits, the result is your contribution to society. What have we been trained to do, whether good or bad, defines, okay, let me start that over again. What we have been trained to do, whether good or bad, defines to some degree our benefit to the people around us and to the kingdom of God. You see, we need to grasp the fact that the sum of our good and bad habits will dictate who we will become. That's that first blank on your sermon notes. We need to grasp the fact that the sum of our good and bad habits will dictate who we will become. And I don't remember if I put this down or not, but this is a powerful quote, and I want you to remember it. Habits create a framework that God fills with His grace. Let's say that together. Habits create a framework that God fills with His grace. In our scripture today, Paul writes to Timothy, his younger student pastor, instructing him in his role and encourages him not to be afraid to exercise his gifts of leadership in spite of his age. And then Paul says this, "Have nothing to do with profane myths and old wives' tales. Train yourself in godliness. For while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for those the present life and the life to come." You see, the Greek word that's translated train right there, train yourself in godliness, this Greek word can also be translated discipline. or practice or exercise. It's where we get the idea of the gymnasium from Scripture.